May I speak to you for a few minutes, please, on Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27 to 30. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27 to 30. I promise you it'll be a very short address, a very short talk. It'll be short in the delivery and in the hearing of it. The length of time for this talk, though, and this address will be the length of life we have left to us. Believer, this sermon, this little address, this little talk will be very short to deliver. But the rest of our lives we shall have to live it out, and we shall want to live it out. Let me explain. Here is the apostle writing to believers. Actually, he's writing to the Philippian believers, and that is the church at Philippi. You will see, it's a corporate thing here as well as an individual. It's the whole body of believers at Philippi, and every individual believer within that body, of course. So, if you're a believer, my friend, listening to me now, you really do know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, then Paul is writing to you. With me, you agree, this is Scripture, and he's writing to us as believers today. And of course, these words apply to churches. I don't know if a church is listening to me now, but the churches where we are members, these words apply to us. How does he start? Whatever happens, he says to these Philippians, whatever happens, good or bad, remember he's in prison, remember he's chained, remember he's suffering, remember he can't preach very much anyway, he's denied opportunity, remember people are insulting him, that's the background here, people are rubbing salt into his wounds. He said all that earlier in the chapter. But whatever happens, he said, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, what a tremendous statement is that. This is the law of Christ, my friend. And the law of Christ is very simple to set down in some ways, very short. It's simply live as Christ, think as Christ. Look how he puts it here. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Worthy of the gospel. Fitting, in accord with, in line with, suitable to, apt to, marked by. You see the idea that our lives should be worthy, fitting, coming up to, matching, suitable to, a glorious representation of the gospel, the good news, salvation in Christ and of Christ. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. I say that's the law of Christ in a nutshell. And if you wrote that across the churches, and if you wrote that across our lives, brother and sister, if you wrote it across my life and across your life, whatever this man, whatever this woman, whatever this church does, is worthy of the gospel of Christ. Wouldn't that be a wonderful testimony? Wouldn't that be beyond words to describe how glorious it would be? I say this, if this statement, if this maxim, if you like, worthy of the gospel of Christ, was written across many churches today, there'd be an awful lot of rubbish and trash and lumber that would have to be removed. Very much like Jesus cleansing the temple, he'd have an awful lot to get rid of in the churches today, which are simply things which are simply not worthy, not fitting, not suitable, not apt, not in line with, not in accord with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course in my life too, the way I live, the way I think, when I'm on my own, in my family, in my relationships with others, in my church life, in my business. This man, whatever he does, this woman, whatever she does, lives and thinks and speaks and acts as a man or a woman living worthy of the gospel of Christ. Well, that's going to take a lifetime to work out. Whatever happens, good or bad, sick or ill, old or young, fit and able or weak or whatever it might be. At the peak of my powers or declining, or if I'm a believer, what an epitaph. This man lived a life. This man was worthy of the gospel of Christ. It says in Hebrews, I think, about they were not, the world was not worthy of them. Let us live, my brother and sister, worthy of the gospel of Christ. And then he says, I'll know if this is going on, that you stand firm in verse 27. I know that you're standing firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. You can see he's speaking to the church there. Oneness, oneness, oneness comes over and over again. One man, with one faith, with one spirit, standing firm. There's only one gospel. And you're standing for the gospel. And you're standing firm for the gospel. And you're contending for the gospel. Here's an interesting point. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, they sing. No. Living worthy of the gospel of Christ. Living worthy of Christ himself. Doesn't mean you're a pushover or a doormat. You contend earnestly for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for the faith of the gospel. Men have to believe it to be saved. Let's contend for faith, not works. Faith in Christ, not sacraments, as they call it, an abominable word. Faith in Christ, the gospel. But of course it here means the gospel itself, the doctrine of the gospel, the system of the gospel. Churches should know the gospel, preach the gospel, stand for the gospel, live worthy of the gospel. Believer, you too, and I with you. I speak to you. I speak to myself. I say you, but I'm including myself. We should live worthy of the gospel of Christ. Stand earnestly for the gospel of Christ. Contend earnestly for the gospel of Christ. It's under attack. Paul says immediately, you're going to get opposition, he said. But you mustn't be frightened by the opposition. You mustn't let the opposition put the fear into you. I confess, I have failed in this. I want to be bolder for Christ. Paul prayed. And he asked the Ephesians to pray. And it's in this passage, in the earlier passage. He wants boldness in the gospel. Fearlessness. Earnestly contending for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There will be opposition. But if we're standing for the gospel, if we're standing for the faith of the gospel, mind you, it must be the gospel, and it must be the faith of the gospel. If we're standing earnestly for that, and firmly for that, contending for it, opposition will be an indelible sign, a mark of what? Two things. One, that you will be saved, brother and sister. You won't be saved because you're standing for the gospel, but you're contending for the gospel that saved you, and it's a confirmation of your salvation. It's an evidence. And God will reward you and honor you for it. Them that honor me, I will honor, says God, and he will. You're not saved because you stand. You're not saved because of anything you do. You're saved because of Christ, of course. But because you are saved, you will stand earnestly and contend earnestly and firmly for the gospel. That's a sure mark that you're persevering and standing with and for Christ. And he will stand with and for you in this life, in death, and in eternity. That's one side of the mark. But another aspect of the mark is for those who oppose you. The unbeliever. If they're opposing the gospel, and they're opposing your stand for the gospel, as an evidence that they will perish. They will be destroyed. It doesn't mean that the individual unbeliever will be annihilated. No. He will perish. She will perish. But opposition will be destroyed, overcome. Paul says, earlier in the chapter, they can put me in prison. They can laugh at me. They can mock me. But these things, God will make sure that they turn out for the furtherance of the gospel. They really will. They'll turn out for the furtherance of the gospel. Am I addressing an unbeliever just at this moment? Are you opposing the gospel of Christ? You say, well, no, I'm not opposing it. Well, if you're not believing it, my friend, I'll tell you what Jesus says. If you're not for me, you're against me. You are opposing it. And you're playing with fire. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Those who mock Jesus, those who mock the churches, those who ridicule the gospel, those who will not believe it, those who resist it, those who refuse it, those who ignore it, those who put it off. What are they risking? They're risking damnation. And when they die, it won't be a risk anymore. It will be a certainty. Oh, I appeal to you, my friend. If God in his providence has somehow or another got you to hear what I'm saying now, may this little talk be saving to you. Do not oppose the gospel of Christ anymore. Lay down your arms. Open your heart. Lord Jesus, save me. Forgive me for my resisting you. Thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Who will do the saving? The sign that they will be destroyed and that you will be saved, verse 28, and that by God. We can't save ourselves. The believers I'm addressing know that. Salvation is of God. Salvation is of the Lord. Christ has died for us. The Spirit has worked in us. The Father has loved us with an everlasting love. Unbeliever, you cannot save yourself. It must be only by God in Christ, by the Spirit. For it's been granted, verse 29, to you. It's a gift, you see. It's all grace. Unbeliever, those of us who are believers talking to you now, witnessing to you, me speaking to you now, it's all of God's grace that we have this. Once upon a time, I did not even know there was a God, and I didn't care whether there was a God. God has changed my heart. He's regenerated me. He's brought me to faith in Christ. And I know every believer will say the same. It's been granted to us on behalf of Christ, through Christ, I believe, under Christ, in Christ, to believe. What does this mean? Well, there are some who question this, but I am convinced myself that faith is the gift of God, Ephesians 2:8, and it's the gift earned by Christ. You know, I don't have a direct text for it, but this one here, on behalf of Christ, Ephesians 1:3, God has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. And if faith, saving faith, is not a spiritual blessing, I do not know what it is. And where has my faith come from? I believe it's Christ has earned it all. All my salvation from beginning to end was paid for by the immaculate Lord Jesus Christ in his sufferings, in his precious blood shed on the cross, in his righteous life yielded up in obedience to his Father as a sacrifice. It's been granted to us, Christian friend, not only to believe on Christ. That was the gift of God for us. That was the grace of God. It's all grace. But also to suffer for him. If any man will live godly in Christ Jesus, he shall suffer persecution, opposition, difficulties of some kind or another. Preach the gospel and difficulties will come. Satan will try to stop this. I think I hinted the other day about something that might curtail the distribution of my books. Well, I'm glad to report that God overruled that same day. And an email I sent, I spoke in there of being a Christian, and I don't know whether the person at the other end who was passing this information on to me, whether that spoke to that person, who knows? A word like that might even bring that person to Christ. Do you see what I mean? God turns everything to his glory. All things work together for good. Praise his holy name. I'm having this struggle, you said. He said to the Philippians in verse 30, I'm going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. You're going to go through it too. But go back to the beginning again. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. What a wonderful picture of the Christian life. What is it? It's to live like Christ. This is sanctification. This is assurance. This is confidence. This is service for Christ. As I say again, if this should be written over the churches, worthy of the gospel of Christ, if it should be written over my life, worthy of the gospel of Christ, over my books, over my sermons, over everything about me, this is worthy of the gospel of Christ, I could ask no greater blessing than that. No greater dignity and honor could God place upon me. It's not law, it's Christ. It's not law, it's gospel. It's not law, it's faith. There are works which come out of grace, which come out of the gospel, which come out of Christ. Don't put the works before. The works flow out of the gospel. But the gospel, sanctification, assurance, spreading the gospel, evangelization, if you'd like to call it that, preaching Christ, whatever it is, it's all of Christ, all of grace, all of faith. Isaac Watts says, so let our lips and lives express the holy gospel we profess. Let me just read this little paragraph to you. As I say, it's a very short address. Now let us go and live, my friend. Live it out. How long have you got to live? I don't know. 10 years, 5 years, 10 minutes, 50 years, I don't know. But however long it is, let's preach a sermon that long. Let's preach it in years, my friend, whatever it may be. It's easy to listen to. It's short to listen to. Now let's do the living of it. An unbeliever, I say again, do not play with God. Do not resist God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Close in with Christ while he is near. I read it to you and then I close. Thank you for listening. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them. Is it a sign to you, unbeliever? It should be. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it's been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have.